Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Hello, Julie.
Hi, Mama. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. Excuse me. A little froggy in the voice, but I'm doing okay.
What's his name? Pedro the Frog.
Pedro the Frog?
Something like that. Yeah, you got him in your voice. I get you.
Yeah. Well, today's November 1st.
Okay, yay.
And yesterday we did what every normal American, red-blooded American does.
What's that? We voted, right?
Yeah, but that's not it, though.
That wasn't it?
No.
We waited for the full moon, which never appeared.
Yeah, because that was cloud cover, or the blue moon.
Uh-huh.
No, we turned out all the lights, the porch lights, closed the blinds, and hid behind the sofas so that no trick-or-treaters could get us.
That's exactly right. And sometimes you feel guilty about that, but I reassured you, since it's COVID year, we have less guilt to be shared.
Oh, yes. The guilt is flows not so freely anymore.
Well, it's interesting because I had a doctor's appointment this week, and just a general doctor's appointment. And it was interesting because my doctor and her family and the whole place had COVID.
I know.
And it was weird because she said she had symptoms for one day. She's a little tired, a little run down. Then she did lose her sense of smell and taste, and that smell has not come back yet.
No.
And then she was like, it was gone. And she's just like, I don't know. I guess us Midwesterners are just stronger.
We're just hardier.
And I'm like, I am taking that fact. And I kept thinking, because I was wearing a mask the entire time.
Yeah, yeah.
I kept thinking, I'm going to believe you, doctor. I'm going to believe you. And
I'm
sarcastic.
The first thing you want to hear, though, is like, oh, I've had COVID. All my kids tested positive.
Yes. And I'm now tested negative.
The nurse practitioner here tested positive.
Yes.
And so you're like, oh, I'm in a COVID facility here now.
Well, and I said to her, I go, oh, I feel pretty good. And she's like, well, don't worry. I'm not worried about you giving me COVID because I've already had it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, all right. You know, and it's interesting because we did have some local news occur during, this time, which is that the little town that I go to for the doctors, about 3 to 4 weeks ago,
right,
they had this news break, which was they had a big wedding.
There was a wedding.
There was a wedding. People were like, we're not going to be holding back this wedding.
No, these are townies.
Yeah.
They've been going together since high school. This is going to be a big deal
for us. Deal.
And not only
celebration.
After the church, then we go here, and then we're all going to go to the bars afterwards.
Yes, which they did do.
They did.
And that was a super spreader.
And it was a super spreader event.
And so I
asked
her.
But you know what? We're hardy Midwesteners.
Exactly.
Nobody died.
She goes, we didn't go to the wedding, but the doctor, one of the people that I know, went golfing with somebody who went to the wedding the next day.
And he got it.
And then he got it. Yeah. And then we think it just spread like that.
Yeah.
And
nobody died, but we don't know about the people that flew in.
Yeah.
They
could have died. That wedding could have been a death. But you know, with every death is a rebirth.
Yeah.
And so in some ways, I've been hearing people justifying the deaths by saying, well, you know what? Life is life.
Yeah.
People die.
Life is life, and God damn it, we need a good economy.
Right. Well, yes. We definitely need a new economy. We need a good economy. And we have an economy that's going to be changing, I think, because I listened to a couple of podcasts this week that reinforces the idea that, hey, this COVID is going to be around for probably a year.
I think more.
Another 16, 18,
I think we're going to be looking into 2022, 2023.
Yeah, and you know, and that in some ways I've been, because you know me, I like to reframe things in my brain so that I can be joyous and happy.
Yeah, yeah.
So you give me a pile of shit, I really will look for the pony.
You do. You're just built that way.
Well, you know, we've had some pandemics occur.
Yeah.
We had the SARS. We had the swine flu and the bird flu. We've had some minimal stuff.
Right.
But the big one that we had was the Spanish flu in 1918, correct?
Right.
Now, you would think it originated in Spain because we call it the Spanish flu. It didn't. I think it started here in America.
Oops.
Yeah, which is fine. You know, I don't know why they call it Spanish flu. It's just, you never know when these things start.
Yeah.
However, These big ones only occur like one every 100 years. So to be alive during this time, mm-hmm. it's kind of fascinating.
It's so fascinating.
And then the idea that if we chart this, you know, what happened after the Spanish flu, we had 2 to 3 years of kind of like, oh my God, this is horrible. And then we had the roaring 20s, followed by the Great Depression. We can maybe not go there, yeah. But there, you know, I'm hoping, I've heard thrown out there that 2024 could be a time where everyone is just going to be partying like it's 1999. And I'm there for that. I'm there for that. And I think to myself, wow, that really gives me like 2 to 3 years where I could stage my different comeback. Because yes. You won't be seeing people.
Right.
I mean.
Right. You'll only be a half face.
Right. Like I was, you know, I think about the people that are in my, like, I consider you and Dad my inner circle.
100%.
I consider Doug and Greg and their families my next circle, but probably Doug's my next circle and then the right. further circle.
Right.
And so beyond those three circles, I feel like I don't need to see you.
Right.
I'm sorry, guys, because I can't infect my inner circle.
Right.
I'm still pod protecting in some
Thank
sense.
Thank you, Jules.
Yeah. I know, because I like to give you what you want sometimes,
yeah.
if I can, yeah. and pod protection right now. And I think there's a product in there. I don't know, pod protection. Go get it. It's basically Saran wrap and duct tape. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Our pod is protected.
We already have that from the last... remember we bought duct yes. tape and
when our vice president under Bush said Cheney goes, oh, everybody should have
duct tape and
that heavy duty plastic
yeah,
wrap.
We
in
bought
case
that.
Something goes down and you got to tape yourself
it's still
inside.
Still in the basement.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and we keep it around just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case. So,
you know, I pride myself on a well stocked home and
yes, you
have
do.
All that stuff. But yesterday I needed some Vaseline.
Did yeah.
I find it anywhere?
Yes.
No.
No, because no. I
took my last bottle of Vaseline and you took it in the truck.
We did. Believe it or not, Vaseline is very helpful in running a semi. There are times when you have air leaks and a little bit of Vaseline takes care of it. Now, no, we carry, I use, when I'm down on Vaseline, I use my chapstick because I buy the pure Carmex.
Right.
A little bit of squirt in my Carmex finger goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
So Father needed it, and then somehow he decided to take yours,
yeah.
which he goes, Chrissy never needs
Vaseline.
Never needs Vaseline. I don't know why you want to share why you need Vaseline now.
Not going to share on that particular issue.
So let your mind wander, people, and you'd be wandering in the right direction. I'm not telling any more. I'm not saying
Just
anything.
Shut up, Jules.
I'm going to shut up. It's all good. It's yeah. all good. So,
I like what your doctor said, though, because she goes, you know, COVID is just a virus. It burns itself out.
It has to burn itself out. It's like a flu, like a cold.
Yeah.
Just a virus. We can't treat it with antibiotics. Because I did ask her. I said, hey, I get it?
What's the procedure?
And she's like, well, nothing. We'll, you know, call it.
Just recover it whole.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep healthy. You'll work through it.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. Hydrate. All right, I'll work through this. I thought, like, we're coming up with new protocols mm-hmm. in this world to treat it faster mm-hmm. so we don't have to, like, get on a ventilator.
Right.
And so in one hand, I'm grateful that her and her family and everybody around them
yeah.
not only got it,
yeah.
but recovered pretty quickly. Like, yeah. it was like, it was just a bug.
Yeah.
It's nothing to be.
Well, but she said her nurse practitioner, you told me, she said had a little bit more deeper congestion, so she prescribed prednisone.
Right, the nurse practitioner had to get like a steroid.
Yeah,
you know, and this is the thing about President Trump too. Like he recovered.
He's hardy,
and like he's I don't know what he's doing, but. You know, if anything happens, he's the one. Like he's the guy living to 120.
Yeah,
and we don't know why because. You know, we were told not to like KFC if you want to be 120. But he's all there.
He's just, what did Sam Harris say? We were listening to a Sam Harris podcast.
Yes.
And he and Andrew Sullivan had a reason why Trump is so hardy. I think he said something like mental illness some people with mental illness have that kind of energy.
Yes.
Because they don't have the other things that we do that bog them down.
Right, right.
It's just. straightforward energy.
It's so weird because I will listen to somebody who I respect and they'll tell, you know, on a podcast, and they'll tell me all the reasons why President Trump, why you should think highly of him, even though he's
gross, yes, and crude and rude.
And
but he's done all these policy things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And then I listen to somebody I respect and then just line up the list of like why you should, like he needs to go. He needs to go now. Our country can't handle it. And so I go, okay. And I go, okay, they're both kind of true, I guess. It's how our reaction to him is there.
Mm-hmm. And you were telling me today, you said, Mama,
what
it really is the lens that you choose to look at things through.
That's me.
And you said, Mama, you've used a very, very pure lens.
That's right.
To look at the world.
Yes.
And I was like so proud that you saw that.
I did see that in you. I said, you're using a very pure lens.
Yes.
And I sometimes have a dirty lens. My lens can get dirty.
I do have some Vaseline for that.
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
Now, no.
Or like, I don't like what I'm seeing. Let me put Vaseline all over my lens. So it just blurs everything. I need my life to be blurry. Please, blurry.
We saw...
what did we see?
We saw Bill Maher, well, on HBO.
Yes.
And he had on that former senator... The Saturday Night Live guy. Oh my God! What's his name? Oh my God!
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, who he stepped down after he was part of that Me Too hashtag Me Too thing. Oh, what is
Al Franken?
Al Franken, exactly.
I didn't need my phone.
You didn't need it. Okay, good. And but Al Franken came across either a little bit, mostly tipsy. I would say.
I would say full blown. Not drunk,
no.
But tipsy.
Yeah.
And, or just out of practice.
But it wasn't pot.
That's not pot. No, this was slurring your words and not having a stream of consciousness.
Right.
Like all over the place.
Yeah.
But not, but
you,
like,
you were more generous. I didn't mind that if you had been tipsy. That was okay with me. But you were generous in saying, oh, because he's not in the loop, he's out of practice in terms of getting his words together.
Right.
I gave him
a pass because sometimes people aren't used to it and they just don't make any sense after a while. They're like, oh, but he should. He's been a long time guy in the public eye.
Yeah.
He was drunk.
Yeah.
I'm hoping. Or
so if you get a chance to see it, you should.
If you don't mind, there are moments I had to close my eyes.
It's too awkward. I can't handle it.
I don't like seeing people fail like that or that are cringeworthy.
Right.
Even if I don't like your policies, which he wasn't my senator, so I don't really care.
Right.
I don't have an opinion about him either way. But it's interesting. There were far more egregious crimes committed by the other side.
No kidding.
That they were like, I'm staying in office.
Yeah.
And he's like,
He should have stayed.
Yeah. Let it be.
But he had an interesting, an aside though.
Yeah.
He said that he won his senatorial by 300 votes.
Yes.
And that he was in a November election, but he wasn't approved or whatever until June or July.
Yes.
That's how long it took.
Oh, my God, for the courts and all that stuff.
And we're hearing that even though we're looking at the election in a few days that, you know, nobody's going to really know for a while. And the longer that it goes, the more in favor it is for the Republicans?
Well, I find maybe. I have no idea. It's interesting you say that because is that what Bill Maher said?
No.
Okay. I guess that could be true.
I think I'm just surmising. Maybe it is what Bill Maher said, but I think I'm surmising that the longer it goes, the more there's a case for like, well, this is just all effed up now.
Right. We might have to have a re-election here. This is crazy.
In 4 years.
In 4 years. Let's just let him stay for four more years. I've had this feeling for a long time because I hate it when people say red states, blue states.
Yeah.
Because the truth is most elections are won by, quote unquote, 300 votes or 3 or 4 percentage points.
Right.
And so you're like, oh, wait a minute. So basically it's a 50-50.
Well,
every state is mostly 100%. Democrats and half Democrats, half Republicans.
Like Bill Moore said, he goes, look, you know, President Trump, you may not think that you like California, but 4.9 million people voted for you in
yes.
the state.
We know
that's
one of
a
them.
A lot.
We know one of them.
Yes,
that's,
we do.
We know a couple that are like yes, diehard Trump fans.
Yeah.
And that and it drives them nuts to think that they don't think that, you know, hey, we voted for you, President Trump, mm-hmm. you know.
My aunt puts on her glasses, the filter that she looks through, have big old elephants on them.
Ah, there you go. Yes. And they're seen through an orange tint. and also on her cell phone, she has the filter that gives everybody the Trump hair. She's like,
I did hear, you know, because sometimes you do have to listen to Fox.
Yes.
Because you just do.
Yes.
And they were predicting a Trump win. Mm. And can I tell you why?
No, tell me why.
Okay. So the poll that they took was
yes.
People that sell Halloween costumes.
Mm.
And by far,
mm-hmm.
and this was a predictor for several elections, by far people did Trump faces and hair.
Instead of Biden. Oh, come on.
And there was like, Trump wins.
Yeah.
Trump wins.
This is what we're going by. I'm like, okay.
Okay, Fox.
Okay. You know, first off, Biden has the most nondescript face out there.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of, what really?
I think everybody should have gotten the Pence fly.
Yes. I love that. You made a joke the other day about Pence fly. And I thought, I literally, my first thought was, he had his fly down? And I like, oh no. Like, I think you said, even Pence's fly got COVID.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how did that happen? How did it get through his penis? I'm like, that's horrible. You know, I'm like, oh yeah.
You got to be quick around here, Julie. You got to be quick.
I do. I got to be quick. One of the things I wanted to talk about this week, and that I wanted to talk about last week, but last week was all about
scary
stuff. We missed a couple of stories because we had a lot more paranormal stuff happen in our lives
yes.
than we expressed. Maybe we'll say that for next Halloween. I don't know. But I wanted to talk about this. I listened to the podcast, I don't think you did, with Kanye West being interviewed by
Joe Rogan. No, I did not listen to it.
Okay. One reason why I sometimes can't handle Joe Rogan's podcast because it's just too long.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, God. But sometimes I like it because it kind of has this rhythm to it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in about hour and a half.
I agree.
The masks come yeah. down. People are comfortable yeah. and loose. Yeah. And they start talking real stuff.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
And if you listen to him and you can listen enough to Kanye and you think to yourself, okay, Lord, if I could just grasp, or if he could just bottle, you know, 30% of his confidence, I might be able to succeed in some things, or not wake up feeling that the world is against me some days.
Like Ziggy.
Yeah, like Ziggy. Or like, you know, I'm doing my best here. I'm trying, people.
Yeah.
I'm trying, like Ziggy. Exactly. Yeah. But the other thing that he said that was just a full-blown misrepresentation,
mm-hmm.
and that drove me crazy. He talked about how he had gone to Japan, and he had said Japan, I don't know if we mentioned this last time, did we?
No.
Oh, he said Japan was the least racist country he's ever been to. And when he was there, they like loved his skin color. They just adored him.
And they would come and they would rub his cheeks, he said.
Yeah.
And
they just loved him.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Just to see if the color would come off.
Yeah. Yeah. But they were like the least racist culture he's ever seen in his total life.
Right.
Entire life. And I'm like, oh, back the shit up. I cannot let this go.
And Joe Rogan shouldn't have let it go either.
He shouldn't have let it go either. Yeah. He should not have let it go. They are the least racist culture because they have the least races. It is just Japanese people who are allowed to live in Japan. I even asked, you know who, I don't want to say it because we have
her
listening.
She starts with an A.
Yes, we asked the A girl.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, A girl, you know, what is Japanese policy on immigration?
Yeah.
And she came up with the fact that in 1990,
yeah.
Japan because they needed workforce, mm-hmm. that they were allowing all the Japanese people who had immigrated across the world to come back home.
To come back home.
We could use you back
Welcome
home
back.
To work our factories and to help our older people because they have an older population.
Yeah.
And that was it. They don't allow anybody mm-hmm. who's, I mean, maybe one or two people, but as a whole,
right.
they are not open to immigration.
Right.
Can you literally
don't, you don't,
say
you
that
don't
you
hear a lot of people saying, oh, I want to go and become a Japanese citizen.
They don't say that because you can't do it unless you're Japanese.
Right.
Can you say that those people are not racist?
No.
I don't think you can.
No.
They have one race.
Right.
They're all happy to be one race. They are. And at one hand, some people would say they are protecting their culture,
mm-hmm.
and we need to respect their culture. Okay, that's fine. But to say it's the least racist community in the world, I just think that's not
right.
I don't think that's true.
I think he missed the mark on that.
But I agree.
But like you said, though, he's so confident in what he says.
Yes,
he would back it up. And here's the thing too that I did not listen to the Joe Rogan podcast, but I saw him on the David Letterman.
Oh yeah, she's on David Letterman. So you kind of know a little bit about the same stories I heard.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but he says things and he'll say something that he thinks is profound.
Yeah.
And then he stops
mm-hmm.
and like, okay, people, I just said something
really profound. Yeah.
You need to
catch up
like,
with me.
Like, yeah. And dude. You're like, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know
okay,
these
that's
thoughts.
Good.
Yeah.
But you're not the first person to have it.
No. No, exactly.
That's what I
problem.
Felt like.
Yeah. And there are times when I listen to the podcast, I find him very interesting.
Fascinating.
I find his confidence level extremely wild.
Right.
I find his love for Jesus sweet. There's a lot of things I like about the man.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things I find him to be, like if you would say that there are aliens living among us, Elon Musk might be one.
Yeah.
And he is part of one category or one right. species of alien.
Right.
I would think Kanye might be another.
Yes.
Because he talks about in the podcast, and this podcast
Elon
affected
Musk
me.
Elon Musk would be an Arcturian, and Kanye would be a Pleiadian.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% down on those terms, but mm-hmm. I'm good for you. I'm
okay.
good for that.
Just trust
Thank
me.
You. I trust in you, girlfriend. You know these things more than I do. I'm an outside observer of this stuff because I'm on the fearful side. I might have had some past lives where me dealing with aliens didn't mm-hmm. work out so well.
Yeah.
So I have a little more fear.
Got it.
You, on the other hand, I probably had past lives where you were making deals all the way around. Mm-hmm. And like, you're like, yeah, hi, Palladians. Hi, Arcturians.
Well, I had a brief moment where I just felt the spirit rise in me and said, welcome to the galactic and intergalactic community, Christine.
Hey!
And so I went, thank
did
you.
Get a, did you get a little pin? Because that would have been awesome. Because, you know, sometimes when you join a group like that, a cult.
They give you a pin.
They give you a pin.
Or a brand.
Did you give you a spiritual pin?
Yeah. Can you see it on my forehead?
I do. So your third eye is activated like crazy,
yeah,
girlfriend.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. I love that. Can you maybe put in a good word for me if shit goes down?
Yeah.
Thank
I
you.
I would like you to come with me.
I'm there for that.
Yeah.
I'm there
Don't
for
be
that.
Afraid.
I won't be. I diverge. Just slightly before going to the Kanye, you asked. I remember this one episode of the X-Files where it was the father from Everyone Loves Raymond, the matriarch.
Oh yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
He was I can't remember his name. Boyle.
Yeah.
Okay. He was also the Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Frankenstein. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was in this X-File and he sold life insurance because his gift was he knew exactly when you were going to die and how it was going to happen. So he would try and sell people life insurance because, and like sometimes they couldn't talk him into it. He's like, dude, you're going to, you know, you really should buy life insurance. And, but he talked to Scully and Scully and she goes, well, how am I going to die? And he goes to her, you don't. And I think to myself, that's my mom.
Yeah.
Somehow she will figure out a way to do that transfiguration into your
light body?
Yes. And join the galactic realm.
Force.
Yes.
Thank
and if you.
You
could bring me along, I'd be appreciative.
Yeah.
So just put that in there.
I'd like to bring you and Daddy along.
I would love that. Yeah. I really would. We'll leave a note.
Yeah.
Just for, you know, we should probably write the note out now.
We can donate the truck and everything to other people.
Like, hey, guys, if we're not all here, we took a ride on the galactic plane.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, just as we are.
We've got another job we're doing.
We've got the pin. We took the job, and we're not coming back, because when we do come back, it'll be many, 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 many years in your future, and you'll be all gone.
Yeah.
But we'll come back and visit, but it won't be, you know, per se you.
No.
Okay. So, and there was only room for three people. So, sorry, guys. So, getting back to Kanye West, he talked about how, like, 3 or 4 years ago, he was $50 million in debt.
Right.
And now he's worth $3 to $5 billion.
Right.
And he's got $300 million in the bank in cash.
Right.
I'm like, well, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And then he talked about how this was done.
I wonder if that's like us having like $10,000 in the bank.
Yes. Probably. Who knows? But what I like about this is that this is when Sam Harris is so true.
Yeah.
Because he says you can have the same situations and not have the same results. You know?
Correct. And this is why I like him too.
Right, because Kanye being where he's at now,
right.
It all came from one deal.
Right.
One deal.
Yeah.
And it was a Gap deal.
Mm-hmm.
And no cash really has transferred. No. It was all, and I don't even think he produced his line yet.
No.
It was all in stock prices went up.
Yeah, it's just numbers.
Just numbers. Numbers on a digital way.
Ones and zeros.
In a digital world. And ones and zeros, and then all of a sudden, he's boom, he's worth this. And you're going, oh, okay, I get it. It's all fucking fake.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is fake.
Mm-hmm.
And I was insulted by that. But on the other hand, hearing him talk about it, I'm like, well, you know what, Kanye, he needs that.
Here's what really bugs me.
Okay, go for
okay.
it.
Okay.
It's and like, I'm not picking on Kanye because I no, thought he, I no, really there's no. he no, there's really
a,
his
but this is a this is here's what bugs me across the board.
Yes.
Okay. So all of a sudden you've got, you know, $6 billion or even even like $10 million,
right.
And then all of a sudden you love Jesus,
right? Well, he
then
says,
all of a sudden Jesus is your pal. Then all of a sudden, but I'm just saying, what about all of us down here that like, hey, Jesus, where's my $6 million?
Yeah, exactly.
Where's my
lotto ticket?
I want that train to get out, you know?
Well, and it's interesting you say that, because he would say that it was his year or two of creating this church for Jesus that he was rewarded for it.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Right.
But what about us that have a lifetime of Jesus?
I don't know, Mama. That's
exactly
right.
Where's our reward?
And that's
in heaven.
In heaven.
That's why we're skipping that part.
And that's why Sam would say there is a
luck.
There is a luck factor involved.
Yeah.
You can
do
the work.
And Sam would also say, and damn your bullshit religion and Jesus.
Yes, exactly. That would be.
Just saying.
He would say that for sure.
Yeah.
He's like, and you know.
He said, I one time debated an archbishop, and he said, I think we ended up not liking each other, or he not liking me, because I did say that your religion was bullshit, by the way.
Well, I think it's interesting. If you like Sam Harris, if you've heard of him, he has an app called Waking Up, and it's a meditation app. And he's written books against God in some sense. And it's interesting because in one hand, he tells a story about how he was like a bodyguard on the outer edge for the Dalai Lama.
Right.
Who was a very spiritual / religious man, I would think.
Spiritual.
Yes. But I think does believe in reincarnation.
So?
Well, Sam would think that would be bullshit.
Oh, okay.
You know, he would. Yeah. So on one hand, you know, so it's interesting to have Sam be this man that I've been following recent more than
Are you sure though that Sam doesn't believe in reincarnation? 100% sure?
I am almost 100% sure he doesn't believe in reincarnation.
Okay, because I know that he follows these gurus though, and that would
right
be normal.
But he follows them on one hand, and on the other hand, he thinks some of them have,
like Osho.
Yeah, have gone a little too far.
Oh yeah.
Like, and like, hey, you know.
Because everything, like, you can say like, oh, you failed because you didn't, you were not devout enough.
Yes, yeah. You didn't, yes, yeah. Your energy wasn't good enough. Yeah. That's why you didn't fail.
That's how everybody is, like, in all that stuff. Oh, you weren't in alignment with it.
Oh, I remember.
Your frequency is not there where it should be. Yeah. Everybody's got the little disclaimer.
Why you couldn't accomplish what you accomplish. Yeah. Yeah. And I like the fact that it's a journey.
Yeah. I like the fact that there's luck involved.
Because we know in our own life, there's always been a little bit of luck involved for things to work out even slightly okay. Yeah. On the other hand, there were times that we had to keep going until the luck hit us.
Yeah.
Like, well,
we had to get in the way of it.
Yeah. Like, the luck is floating around here. Julie, keep doing something. Let that luck hit you. And like, oh, thank God the luck finally hit me. I think about that as grace. It's like, there's a lot of grace out there. And sometimes you're just not in the energy of it.
When I was a kid, I was on every grade. We had our softball team.
Right.
And we didn't win every single game, but every single game we prayed to God that we would win.
Yes.
I didn't stop not believing.
No.
Stop believing in God.
Did you then think that the other team prayed better?
I don't know what I thought. I really just thought that it was some girl's fault that the ball went through her legs.
Yeah, and like that girl did not pray or practice. Yeah. The devil got in her. She couldn't catch that ball between her legs. Yeah, I know. Those are the things that, when people like Doug, I call him an agnostic more than an atheist.
Really?
He calls himself an atheist.
Yeah.
Because he likes to make fun. And I said, so you believe when you die, you're dead. I'm okay with that. I go, just tell me. Mm-hmm. He goes, well, I don't know if that's really true either. If our consciousness, I'm like, okay, good. Then you're more an agnostic. Mm-hmm. And that's understandable as well. Mm-hmm. None of us know for sure, except that I feel like, because I've been in your presence long enough and I've had things happen to me, that I'm like, there is something different in this world that I'm not aware of. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to say about it. That's all I can say is that. So I believe in Jesus because I know I was born not with Jesus, but I really like believing in Jesus.
Yeah.
Like overall, my life is enhanced because of it.
Right.
I don't think I'm for sure. No, it does not guide me in a way that makes me more judgy. I'm not that person.
No, you're not that person.
And I'm not that kind of Christian.
No.
And it's like that, you know.
You're like, Jesus is just all right by me.
Hell yeah,
Jesus
baby.
Jesus is just all right.
And I'm not on the cult side where we all believe in Jesus and we're all naked and we're all screwing because that's what Jesus loves too. You know, I'm not that way either. So it's a big,
Tent.
It's a big tent.
Yeah.
It's a big bullseye. I mean, yeah. It's a big mark.
It's a big target.
Big target. Yeah. And I don't know where my little sliver is on it, right. But I try and hit it every day.
Yeah.
You know, there are moments I think I'm close with Jesus. Walking with Jesus.
You know, he's holding your hand.
And then times when I'm in the sand and I only see one set of footprints, and that's because he was carrying me. I love that little thing, that little prayer.
Too.
And you're just like, whatever we have to tell ourselves to get through this mortal world, that's so incredibly emotional sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
How does Joe Dispenza say about your emotions, your body?
The emotions are your body's language.
Yeah.
Your body's words.
Yeah.
Your thoughts are your mind's words. And somehow, so you need to have those connected through your heart.
And once you connect them, then
you become very magnetic.
Then you become empowered, magnetic, in alignment with things.
Yes.
But it's difficult. Mm-hmm. We live in a 3D duality planet dimension that's all about even if we're not judging, black is not white, white is not black.
Right.
You know, it's a duality planet.
I know there are people who say things are black and white. I just never believe that. I mean, I don't live in that terms at all.
Right.
Can I change subjects a little bit?
100%.
I like to change subjects of about the ridiculousness of some movies.
Huh? Is that the game we were playing last night?
Yes, but can I talk about a god on earth called Jason Momoa? Do you know him? You know him.
I love him.
Yeah, you love him, right?
I love him.
Okay, Jason Momoa.
Now, how in the world did you get to this?
Okay, well, I'm just want to. I need to do this off my chest.
Okay,
because I saw this and I felt like I'm watching this movie at 5 a.m. on Halloween Day on TBS or TNT, and it's called Braven, and it takes place in the winter and in the mountains, and he's up talking to his dad in a cabin, and his daughter hitches a ride up there with him, and his daughter shouldn't have come, but during up there, they realized some drug dealers, some cartels had left drugs in their cabin to store, and they're coming back for it, and shit's going down. And I go, well, this is really interesting because it takes place in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. He's an interesting actor, right?
Yes.
Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
I go, but you know, he's going to be covered up most of the time.
Yeah, he shouldn't be.
He's got a fabulous body.
He should be in the ocean.
That's why he was called. That's why they made him the swimmer dude.
Nautilus.
The swimmer dude that's, you know, I don't know. You know,
that dude.
The Atlanta dude. Yeah. Atlantis, you know. Yeah. Whatever that show was called. That was really a horrible movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Horrible. But he was...
He redeemed it a little bit.
He was lovely candy.
What I love about him is he doesn't... I love these guys with the at least nowadays,
yeah,
with the great bodies. They're so damn cute because they don't take themselves too seriously.
Right.
My good friend, The Rock.
Yes.
Number one candidate. Any of those two boys that are from Australia.
Yes.
Which I kind of love.
Yes.
Those dudes.
Yes.
They don't take themselves too seriously.
I mean, that's what they're giving us out there. That's the answer.
Then do it.
Then do
just
it.
Just give it. Project that onto,
yes,
us. Because we love to think that you have that great, big, beautiful body and you don't take yourself too seriously.
Well, there is a podcast that I could recommend anybody seeing or listening to. It's called Armchair Expert with Dax.
Oh, Dax Shepard.
And I don't know what number it is, but there is a podcast with three guys. On it. Dax. Oh my God. I can't think of the name of these people.
Yeah. They're two other comedians.
Two other comedians. Yeah. One was the cast member from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Right, right.
And they just literally talked about how to get in shape because, and how they just love their bodies and how their wives are like, just stop already. Just give it a break. And it was so cute hearing them talk about how they're just like, oh, this is so much fun. I'm like, okay, sweet. But anyway, so I'm thinking to myself, I'm putting money down. I'm like, you know what, Julie, in my brain, I'm like, why don't you put a $5 bill down that somehow this guy's going to take his top off?
Yeah.
We're not sure how this is going to happen.
Because it's in the wintertime.
It's totally, there's snow everywhere.
It's Arctic, okay.
He's got to have a jacket on at all given moments. Yeah. But now he has to fight the cartel because they've left drugs in his cabin and they want
that's
the drugs back.
That's a really far out concept.
Because
what's the cartel doing up in the mountains?
I don't know. Yeah. So anyway, so what happens is, I'm not giving this away, but this is an interesting scene. I don't know who thought of it, but here it goes. Here's a scene.
Yeah.
So he's being chased by a cartel member, and the guy's got a gun, and our Jason guy doesn't have a gun, but he, so what he ends, and somehow he gets pushed off his snowmobile, and he's fighting with the guy, and he ends up attaching his snowmobile, he's got a long rope to his snowmobile.
Uh-huh.
He attaches the other guy to this long rope and turns the snowmobile on so it jumps off a cliff.
Yeah.
Okay, so it takes off, it jumps off the cliff, but the bad guy grabs his hand, grabs his leg, Jason's leg, so he goes off with Jason.
No.
The bad guy ends up hitting the cliff where Jason ends up hitting the water. And so he comes out all frozen. And gratefully, the guy he fought was probably his body double because he was a big guy.
Uh-huh.
And he stole his clothes. So we got to see him take his top off and get dressed because he was all wet.
Yeah.
He was soaking wet. And you can't be soaking wet in wintertime. You're going to die.
No.
So luckily, we got to see him take his top off.
Yay.
God, you guys went a long way to get this done, but we're thankful. And for that, we say thank you. You know, good job. So that was it. I can, I don't know. I can recommend the movie. It was fine. It was a nice movie. It was fine.
But the idea that I took his
that was great. Top that was off. Awesome.
That worked.
He was a dad. It was a he's a son and a dad, and it all worked out. He might have been a wife. I don't think he was divorced. The wife's in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yada yada yada.
Yeah.
A lot of physical violence. A lot of stuff I'd like really, you know, yada, yada, yada. So a lot of stuff going down. Oh, and he was a forester, or like he was a tree chopper downer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he climbed trees a lot.
Oh.
So that's why he was so bulk.
Yeah. Bulky. You know? Like he was like brawny.
Yeah. But this big brawny guy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
He is, I don't know where he's from. I know he's American, but I don't know where his ancestry is from. Because in America, we're a melting pot. We let anybody in.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that because I get to call Jason Momoa an American citizen because he's gorgeous. He's gorgeous. I was like, you know.
Well, that's all due to Lady Liberty.
Lady Liberty.
Give us your huddled masses.
Yes. Which we were one of them
free.
Back in the day.
Absolutely.
Your dad was the first generation
that was born here.
Born here.
Yes, yes, yes.
Both of your grandparents, yes. All your grandparents were born in the old country.
In the old country. One old country of Germany and one old country of Italy.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. They're not. Grandma always used to say she was Welsh. Was she German?
I think both.
Okay.
I mean, Welsh.
All there.
Yeah, Wales. Germany, I don't know.
Some point, literally, we're all just from the
Europe
belly. Well, and then if you go even further, we're all from, you know, we all got a little bit of, you know, who's that?
Genghis Khan.
Yes, Genghis Khan. Go back further.
The great rapist.
Yeah, exactly. We call him the great rapist. And then we go back even further. We're all just from Africa.
There's a statue of Genghis Khan erected in Dixon. No. We tore it down.
We tore that down.
He did not last the hashtag Me Too movement.
For sure. So anything going on in your life, girlfriend?
God, a lot of stuff. As you've been talking, I've been, you know, wanting to say stuff, and then it goes out of my mind.
That's
as quickly
understand.
As it came
I don't
in.
Understand how to say that. Yeah. I like to say, because, you know, I do listen to a lot of podcasts, and I want to tell people, like, if you want to listen to this was not bad.
Yeah.
You know, we have been listening to Sam Harris a lot lately, because he's been bringing on interesting experts about...
Oh, my God.
COVID.
Yeah.
And he's been bringing interesting experts about the election.
Mm-hmm.
And... the one recently with
Andrew Sullivan.
Yes, it is worthwhile hearing either way, depending on who you want to vote for.
Because
here's it's a wild ride.
But here, Sam is a man that, you know, he's an educator, you know, and he brings on these guests that have these impeccable, you know, curricula vitae, you know, like you know, Oxford, Harvard, Yale, you know, all the Johns Hopkins and all this stuff. And so but you talk about having the mask down. So he's having just a talk with Andrew Sullivan. They're buds.
Yes.
And they shouldn't be, because Andrew is a Republican was at one time.
Yes.
And obviously Sam's a liberal.
A centrist.
He is.
Yeah.
But they're both centrist.
Yeah.
And, but yet they've met in their circles where their circles coincide.
Right.
They meet beautifully. And so the mask comes off, and Sam does not mince words. You know, he's like, you know, he calls Trump boy king.
Yes.
The boy king.
The boy king.
narcissist.
Yes.
Mentally ill. A mob. You know, a mob boss. With a cartel.
Yes.
He calls it, you know, Trumpistan.
It is wild. And if you...
At some point, you're just like going...
This is a wild ride.
It's just getting funny.
It's getting funny because I see Sam Harris as this man who is deep in meditation all the time.
Yes.
Very reflective about situations.
Yes.
And here he is with a bud who's on the opposite side.
Yeah.
But that they're just like,
they're just having a combo. Yeah.
And one line. And so if, depending on where you want, it could be worth listening to, because sometimes you forget all the things that went down during this time.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. You forget.
You forget.
Because it's so fast.
Yeah. What's the next news thing?
Yeah.
What's the next news cycle?
Yeah.
And then you just go, maybe it'd be lovely not to have to be so engaged during the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really am tired. Mm-hmm. But what I know it happens, because we had talked previously about how last week, how the internet gives you exactly what you want.
Yes.
So if you are...
I've told that to some people, and I still don't think they get it.
No. No,
no.
They're good.
They get it.
When someone says, "Yeah, it's all over the internet that this is going down," yeah. I'm like, "I'm on the internet. I have never seen anything like this." Because the truth is, we have different internets.
Yeah,
and
like you said, your internet gives you '90s hair music.
Yes. Exactly. And spiritual stuff and ways to feel better about the world.
Yes.
All that stuff. One thing that Sam had on recently too, was this one man who talked about...
Did I say 90s hair band? Should it have been 80s?
No, it's 90s.
Okay, good.
I listen to 70s music.
Right.
And 90s hair band.
Got it.
And a lot of spiritual stuff.
Yes.
And I also, we've been consistently this year doing meditation and breath work. Wim Hof.
Yes.
I can recommend him. If you Google him.
Yes.
Or YouTube him, lots of videos will come up of his breathing technique. I love doing Wim Hof breathing.
I do too.
Because I find it fascinating that I can hold my breath for 2.5 minutes to 3 minutes sometimes.
I'm just like, you are so good.
I haven't been able to.
I mean, 1.5 is my longest.
But I noticed that we do the Wim Hof together because it's a process. Yes. You build up to it.
Yes.
You do 30 intakes of inhale and exhale quickly. And then you hold your breath and you build up to the minutes and so forth.
You don't hold your breath though. You empty your breath and then hold.
You exhale.
Right.
But I don't exhale completely out.
Oh, you don't?
No, I don't. Because it's kind of quick. It's like inhale, exhale,
and hold. Now hold.
Yeah. So I'm not like going, like totally taking the time to.
Got it.
Exert it all out.
Got it.
So, but what I, and then we've also, I've also get my Gabriel's oboe.
Yes.
Which is the theme from The Mission, movie The Mission.
Yeah.
There's a German dude, I think he is. I don't know for sure. Who plays the oboe.
Oh, that dude.
Yeah. His version's great.
Yeah.
The other ones.
What is his name? I don't know if he's German or not.
I don't know either. Yeah. I thought it was, but maybe I'm wrong.
He's like Japanese or Chinese or something.
No, not the guy that does the oboe. There's different versions.
Yeah. Oh, the one with the 4.5 minute one?
Yeah.
I don't know that dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's just
German.
I'm going to Google him and let you guys know.
Yeah. We do a Joe Dispenza breath work to Gabriel's oboe, which is just the short version.
Yes.
We do here is the version that we choose is 4.5 minutes, but there's also some microaggression at the end. And what is that microaggression?
Applause.
Applause.
His name is Henrik Chom Goldschmidt.
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I would think that would be German, but I could be wrong.
Goldschmidt. Yeah.
Henrik, that sounds German for me, for sure.
Is he spelling it H-E-N-R-Y or H-E-N-R-I?
I.
Oh. Henri.
Oh, that could be, I guess it could be French.
I don't know,
Jolene. I don't know.
Okay. Henri Goldschmidt.
But it's 4 minutes long. And the only thing I was disappointed about in that music... I didn't know it was called Gabriel's Oboe. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a flute playing it.
And it's an oboe.
And since I'm a flautist, I go, oh, great, a flautist plays it.
Yeah.
And it's like, no,
if I was going to take up any instrument, I would take up the oboe just so I could play The Mission.
The Mission, Gabriel's
Oboe. That's all I would need for the rest of my life is just play The Mission
over and over again. And the breath work required to do that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be awesome.
That last note that they hold, that takes 2.5 minutes of breath hold.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure, girlfriend, for sure. One of the things that Sam talked about this week, or this last couple of weeks, was this concept of, what do you call it? altruism, ethical.
Ethical altruism?
Altruism.
Yeah.
Yes. Because where he was at was this idea that...
Oh, I loved this podcast, by the way.
Yeah, you liked it.
It made me feel like the world is good.
Well, the idea that there are people out there even having ideas like this.
Yeah.
That this one man, he's a professor from a College of Jesus.
Jesus University.
Oh, excuse me. Jesus University.
The Jesus University at Oxford.
Right. He's from the Jesus University.
I guess Jesus College at Oxford U.
Yeah, that's it.
Have your sweatshirt. Jesus College at Oxford U. Go. And go Crusaders.
And it's short for the longer version of the college,
yes,
or whatever, but it's from,
yes,
Oxford.
Yes.
And he says that he lives on like $25,000 a year,
yes,
which is $35,000 American money.
Right, because he lives on pounds.
Right, mm. And the rest
everything else he gives away.
He gives away.
Yeah.
Because, and he tries.
And the coolest thing is that he actually takes time to look at what he's given it away to.
Yes.
Whereas me, am I not as rigorous in my,
right,
giving away as I should be? I am better.
Right.
I'm getting better at it.
Well, and it's interesting because we've been contemplating this thought about how do we give our money away better.
Better. Exactly right.
So that it makes more of an impact.
Right.
Because there's one philosophy out there that if you spend a dollar on ice cream,
right,
and that dollar could have gone someplace to save a child's life,
right,
you really are a horrible person.
You're a murderer.
You're a murderer.
Yeah.
And it literally is like walking past a child drowning in the river.
Right.
And of course you wouldn't do that.
And they said like this. It's like you're walking past a child that's drowning and you could go and easily get that child that's drowning out. But because you have a $1,000 suit on and $800 shoes, you decide that you're not going to do that.
Right.
And then, that is the cruel.
That's, and then you
cut
go,
us off.
Oh, okay. Then you're like, okay, I get you. And they're proposing different kind of mind challenges.
Yeah. Oh, like, can we talk about some of them?
We got about 5 minutes left.
Oh, talk about the one where there's two burning buildings and one has got one child in it.
Okay.
And the other one's got a Picasso in it. Now, should you save
one? You only have time to save one.
You only have time to save one.
The
do you
child?
Save the child in the burning building or do you save the Picasso, which could save a thousand children?
Right, because you could sell a Picasso for millions.
Right.
And who knows how much that millions could save children.
And then that one of those children that you save could be the next inventor of, I don't know, anti-gravitational devices.
And so that's the scenario they set up.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what,
right,
do you do then?
Right.
And these are dumb scenarios, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the idea they proposed.
But you know,
they
came from Oxford.
Yes. And he said he would not judge you for saving the child.
Yeah.
But truly, it would be better to save the Picasso.
You should save the Picasso. We both went, what?
And then I thought, well, what if one of those children that you saved was like the next Hitler?
Yeah.
Then what do you think about that? Not all children
how you
are
like
meant,
them apples.
Yeah, not how all children are meant to be saved.
I like that when you said
yeah.
that. You meant, not all children should be saved, Mama.
I mean, well, and then he gave this idea. The first scenario was not two houses. You had one house burning.
Uh-huh.
There was a child in there and the Picasso, and you can only save one.
Oh.
And then that was that because.
That's even a better
he
one.
Was, okay. And then the, because he
but
was.
But I loved your idea. You said, take the Picasso, use it to prop the door open.
Yeah, and let the kid out.
And let the kid out.
And then take the Picasso. I mean, like, these are, because they always throw out these ideas.
Yeah.
About, there was that one movie in the 60s or 50s. I don't know.
Soylent Green is people.
Yes. No, the ship goes down. There's like eight people in a. Or
lifeboat.
In a lifeboat.
Yeah.
And
that's
at
an
some
Alfred
point,
Hitchcock movie.
At some point, they have to let people go.
Yeah.
And then two hours later, they get rescued.
Oops.
Oops.
Oops. Wait, we already ate grandma and grandpa, and
oops.
Now the life. Now the lifeboat comes.
Yeah. Oops. I'm to the philosophy of, like, we stick together as a team. Whatever happens as a team happens.
I don't like that one. And maybe you've never seen it, but you're on a bridge and you're watching a train come down,
right.
And it has like a like it separates, yeah. And you have the ability to, or like some, there's a crowd of people
right
on one end, and then there's a, like an old drunk hobo on the other, and you have the only, that you can only choose one in which to say, hey, there's a train coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
And do you choose to save the drunk? Or do you save the bunch of people? Am I doing that right?
I would think this. How about this one? Let's not make it a drunk. Let's make
a hobo.
How about this? Or you're able to, you see me there.
Yeah.
I'm the only person there.
Yeah.
And there, or there's 500 people there.
Yeah.
And
no problem. But they gave it to Sam, though?
Yes.
Remember, Sam, remember when the guy goes, Sam, what if it's your two daughters?
Yes.
In the burning building or the Picasso?
Yes.
And Sam said, I choose the Picasso.
Because I might choose the Picasso. Yeah. He was, he debated. And I go, these are such stupid ideas. Because here's the thing. You choose a Picasso, you find out it's a fraud. It's a fake. You're like, oh,
but also,
no.
Picassos are scary anyway.
Yeah. And then you just like, why are Picassos worth so much? They literally look like the inside of a deranged man's mind. I mean, you know, come on.
Or someone's guts.
Yeah. I'm not. A fan of the Picasso. I like his name though.
I do too.
I also thought he was I mean, if I'm not mistaken, he was a dick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dickwad.
Yeah.
I'd like to have Dickwad all over my house.
I go, look at this Picasso. Hashtag he was a dickwad, right? Yeah, he was. Energetically, I don't need that in my house.
Right.
I just prefer windows. Look at the beautiful outside light. Look at the beautiful, you know.
Isn't that true though?
Yeah.
A window.
Is more than enough.
Yeah.
But that Picasso could be sold and then.
But what if you didn't sell it? See, that's the thing too.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then in your mind, you're going, well, if I wait another more year or two, it'll be worth more money.
I know that I would definitely. I remember this is, I know we're running out of time, but
yeah,
when I was a little kid, I was like, I think I was in third or fourth grade. I had a friend and we were up in her house, like in the third floor, like in the attic. And we were like pretending we were like Snoops and we were looking out the attic window and looking at our street and everything.
Yeah.
And my little brother across the street, my baby brother, comes out of the house and goes down the steps, and he's like, obviously he shouldn't be running out of the house, got a diaper on,
right?
And he runs into the street.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my god. But my friend, she runs down the stairs and stairs and the stairs, and she runs out in front of a car and grabs my brother and saves his life.
Oh my god.
And I never will forget that. And I would, what would I do? I was frozen in the moment.
You were frozen in the moment.
I was frozen.
Yes. Aw, I get that.
Just like Jason Momoa. Yeah. No.
He was frozen in the ocean. And he had to take off his top.
And I had to take off my top.
And your neighbor's like, Chrissy, why are you taking your top off? I'm frozen. I'm freezing. What else am I going to do but take my top off?
I'm in this attic. It's hot up here.
Exactly. Oh, that's it.
So, I think I probably would not have rescued the Picasso or the child.
You'd be like, it's too hot in here.
I'd be taking my top off.
Yeah. There you go. Listen, we all are part of the same consciousness, part of the same world.
Yeah,
what is that line in the Bible? We're all one part in Jesus.
Was that in the Bible?
Yeah, it is. There's something like that. I remember that phrase because it makes me feel happy.
Yeah.
Because we're all one, part of the one.
All
you know?
One. And as opposed to alone.
Alone.
A-L-O-N-E or A-L-L-O-N-E.
There you go. I like it. Oh, you're so good.
So good.
So how's the show, girlfriend?
That was a Kanye.
Yeah.
That was a Kanye
moment. Yeah, that was a Kanye. You waited there so that I could catch up to you and your brilliance.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm caught up. You're brilliant.
Got it. Okay.
Good. Okay.
All right, girlfriend. How is it? It was great.
It was great. It was great.